Blake Solly's set to face the media. Well, it's on the press release from Souths in about 6 minutes' time, and we will look to take some of that news conference live this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast. But joining us now is our man himself, the co-host of the Sunday Big Sports Breakfast, Daily Telegraph reporter Dean Bulldog Ritchie. How are you, doggy?
Yeah, good morning, men. Yeah, dramatic day in rugby league yesterday. It's always sad when a coach goes. But I guess if you want to be clinical, cold and ruthless, I just don't think South Sydney had any other choice.
No, and you obviously feel for Jason Demetrio.
Well, he's lost his livelihood.
Yeah, most definitely. And I hope he gets another opportunity because, I like him. I respect him. I think he's a very good coach. But it just hasn't worked out for him at South Sydney. So I'm hoping that he's okay, and I'm hoping that he gets another opportunity to prove to others that he definitely can coach. And I think he would have learnt a lot. And I reckon if he had his time over again, some of the decisions that he made while he was in charge, he'd do them differently if faced with the same situation next time.
I've done this job for 37 years now. I cannot recall in all that time such a spectacular collapse of one side stacked full of stars. From round 11 last year, leading the comp, the Tab actually deposed Penrith as premiership favourites.
Yeah, they
South took over as premiership favourites, which was quite a momentous moment because Penrith, I think, had been clear favourites for 3 years. Yeah. And since that day, the slide just couldn't be stopped. Mm. I think it's 5 from 22 games.
Well, that just doesn't happen, Bulldog. That just doesn't happen.
What happens, O'Grubb?
Well, I want to ask you. We hear things. What can you honestly... What do you honestly think happened?
Well, like you, we hear things too in the media. I mean, I'm not like you guys again, inside those four walls.
Well, people always text us, and we always feel like saying, well, we're only speculating like you. We don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know unless people tell us. We can speculate, but you don't know.
We hear from player managers and sources in and around the club, but some of those are agenda-driven, so you've got to be a bit careful what you write there because you're thinking, well, maybe it's
not everyone's
true.
Looking after their own... Of course. As well.
But look, clearly what Sam Burgess said last year, in hindsight, may well have been spot on.
Well, he didn't say much.
He didn't say much publicly, again, Minnow, but behind the scenes, I think he was his thoughts were being leaked out to the media. And it goes back to the old theory, did JD give South's senior players too much say and too much power?
Why two board meetings in the one day?
I don't know, Laurie. I've never seen that before either. All I can think of is that...
Time zones.
Right. James Packer and Mike Cannon-Brookes are overseas and assume, well, obviously, they would want to have a say. I'm not even sure where Russell Crowe is. I think he might be back, but I'm not sure. So I assume that it would have to be done professionally and through time zones.
Right. And in those board meetings, do you think Wayne Bennett was discussed?
I've got no doubt.
Yeah.
I think he's the first choice and probably
he
their
was
second
discussed,
choice.
I'll phrase it differently. So if Wayne was the what was discussed yesterday, they will target him today? Or do you think that some conversations happened before that board meeting occurred yesterday?
I think conversations would have happened before. I don't think you sack a coach unless you've got someone else ready to go. I think they've made contact with Wayne. I think it's all systems go. I think he will be announced in the next couple of days. Yesterday's board meeting, Laurie, obviously goes down to the mechanics of the situation, i.e. JD's payout, the legalities, HR, all those issues which you have to go through when you terminate somebody's contract. And obviously he's had, I think, 2 years to go, was it, Josh? Well, 3 years to go. So even that was a little bit complex in that it was a long-range contract which had to be snapped in two.
There's four parties that own the club. Is that right? Who holds the power? So you've got Packer.
Yep.
You've got Cannon-Brookes.
Yep.
You've got Crowe. And you've got members. Who ultimately...
You've got makes supporters, and I think the juniors might
which
have
is the
one
members. That's
members
part of that
well.
Members group, so
correct.
That's 25%. So it's split four ways. Who's got the power?
I think... Geez, Laurie, put me on the spot here. I always thought that Russell had one more director than the others.
I think
and I think
right.
James and Mike Cannon-Brookes have got one each. There's a supporters element which own 25%. Nick Pappas looks over that, and he has then been elevated onto the main board as the chairman as well. Look, I don't know whether it was unanimous. I wasn't inside that board meeting yesterday, but you get the feeling that Souths were quite patient with JD over the last month or two. They could have pulled the trigger 3 or 4 weeks ago. They waited. They gave him another game or two. They got flogged again on the weekend. The only surprising element, I would say, is that I was a bit shocked they made the decision yesterday. They could have made it after the bye, and it could have been a little bit easier for the players, but we're now only, what, 24, 36 hours away from Penrith.
Let's just say Bennett doesn't go there. Who's their next target?
Gee, good question. Josh, I mean, obviously Sam's been in the background. I don't think he'll come back yet. I don't think Sam's ready. He's only 10 games into his professional coaching career. I don't think there's any doubt that Wayne will get it. I don't think Souths are even looking at an option B at this point in time. Look, Souths have got some big personalities in that side. Yeah. We know that. And perhaps JD couldn't corral those big personalities at times. But we do know one thing about Wayne. He's getting older. Maybe the technical side of the game, he needs some support.
Yeah.
But in terms of pulling some heads, clunking some heads together, like Larry Moe and Curley in the old days, I think Wayne's the man that will do it, and there'll be no players stepping out of line.
How will it work then, Bulldog, if Wayne comes in for 2 years and addresses all the problems that need to be fixed now because he keeps the players happy, but then Wayne leaves in 2 years? Are we then left with a similar problem?
Loz, that's looking into the crystal ball. I don't know. I would imagine that South would be considering bringing someone in with Wayne.
Yeah, but that's what he did before.
With JD and handed over.
Yeah. It's
generally the way they do it these days. That particular case didn't work, but Christian Wolf is a similar situation. Look, I think there's an inevitability that Sam Burgess will coach South one day. I just don't know when. When his contract finishes in England, whether Wayne is still at South and whether he comes along for the last year or so. But I think it'll be
Sam would go back and coach that same playing group?
I think he would in a couple of years' time.
That's what I mean. Like in a couple of years when some of those might be
on.
I've got no doubt Sam wants to come back to Australia. His life's in Australia now. And if he can be given a plum job, I think he would take it in a flash.
All right, Blake Solly, it looks like he is just fronting the media there at Heffron Park in Maroubra this morning. So we might see if we can take some of that. I don't think we can we? We'll have a crack.
I think the board wanted to give it as much consideration as the subject deserved, really. Dismissing a coach is never easy. We've got a great board who consider every issue very diligently and do their job properly. And as I said, dismissing a coach is never easy, and they want to give themselves enough time, give it appropriate consideration before coming to a unanimous decision.
The results speak for themselves, but you just couldn't keep going down the same path you're going down?
Yes.
Like, what happened between the first meeting yesterday morning and the last meeting?
Yeah, I think Jason had presented the board with some information in the morning, and the board wanted to give that some consideration. It was a fairly extensive document, and in fairness to Jason, they wanted to give that some consideration. Our chairman's in London at the moment for business, so unfortunately we probably would have reconvened a bit earlier, but not many people making great decisions at 2 a.m, so he needed to have a sleep, and then we could reconvene later in the evening when he'd woke.
Is JD still fighting for his job at that time?
Yeah, JD, like any coach, thought that he was able to turn performances around, and that with a few more players on deck and with a few changes to the team and the game style, that we would regain our form.
Like 2 weeks ago, you considered sacking JD. You didn't do it. You play one game against Melbourne, albeit a poor performance.
Yep.
But it was one game. Why did it change so dramatically after one game?
Oh, I think our view was that the one game was indicative of probably an inability to turn around, and that we needed to make a quick decision. Unfortunately, we didn't think that Jason's coaching style would be able to get the change we needed or the improvement we needed. And given that we sit at 17th of the table and our four and against is 50 points worse than 16th, I think now is the time to make the change.
Can you understand people looking at this and thinking this club's a bit of a rabble at the moment?
Yeah, I think rabble might be a strong word, but I can understand. Look, I can understand that it hasn't been a particularly consistent or smooth sailing over the last few weeks. So, but we've tried to support the coach and tried to give him as much of our backing as we could. But I think over the weekend everyone realised that change was needed, and unfortunately the change had to be Jason.
Like, I know you're not a coach, but when you say you felt the change was coaching soul wasn't going to fix it, what do you think the downfalls were in terms of that coaching soul?
Look, first of all, I want to say that Jason's an incredibly hard-working coach. He's a good person. We've worked together for 5.5 years. Very strong values and a great family man. But in our view, we just felt that the style of play and probably Jason's management of the players needed to change. And that's no criticism of his work ethic or how hard or how much effort he's put in. But we just felt that we needed a change in management.
His agents came out this morning to say he was treated poorly, treated shabbily. What do you respond to that?
I don't agree.
In what respect?
I think that Jason spent 3 years here as an assistant coach. Was appointed to succeed Wayne very early on in his tenure as an assistant. The club gave Jason every single opportunity to have success, and for half of that period here, he did. But results over the last 12 months haven't been good enough for a club of our stature, and whilst it's no criticism of Jason how hard he works, the last 20 games will speak for themselves, and for his agent to say that he's been treated shabbily in the context of a year's worth of patience and support, I think he's unfair, and I'm not sure that Jason would share that view.
Like, can you talk about the management of players, and can you just clarify that? Are you referring to stuff last year about
No, I'm talking about the whole of the squad and ensuring that every player in the squad can perform at their best on the NRL stage.
Blake, have Jason lost interest?
No.
So you were confident with all players to win?
Yep.
Did you consult players?
No.
Okay, we'll leave it there. So, some of Blake Solly speaking to the media there in the wake of Jason Demetrio's sacking yesterday, Bulldog.
I spoke to Blake the other day, and South's theory through this episode wasn't just what's happened in the last few weeks. Mm. They have taken into account the 21 weeks where Souths have been failing. And in their eyes, that's the equivalent of an entire season, which have gone down the drain. Mm. It's sad, but it's factual. Yeah. And look, they had to make a change. And I like JD Laurie. I'm like you. Yeah. He's always very good to the media. Yeah. But I think a time comes when you just have to pull the trigger and be ruthless.
Well, there was one thing that stood out for me there in that press conference was he said, we made the decision to change because of the style of play, which is fine. But then he also said the management of the players. I wonder what he meant by that.
I think the last question he was prompted again to elaborate, and Blake didn't suggest anything in particular. But whether that was a reference to what happened last year
but
with Sam
when you say management of players, that's not talking about the management, because that's style of footy. That's
I know what you mean.
It's management of players is how you're dealing with those players individually.
And that, sorry, Loz, but this seems that the players are going, we're going above JD. Well, how does he know what the management? He shouldn't really know the management of the players' side of things.
Blake Solly?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're going to him.
Directly.
Well, I don't know, Josh, in terms of, you know, what football clubs are like. Mm. People whisper, people talk all the time, whether it's in front of your face or behind your back. It goes on every single day. But Blake Solly's not silly. If there were things going on behind the scenes, you know, he'd sniff it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think, have the management now changed their whole view on how this group needs to be managed? Because last year, Sam said that they need to be harder, tougher, stronger, and we need to treat them differently to how we're treating them now. And they said, no, we're going to back the coach's management style. So I don't know whether JD had changed his style or not, but if he continued along that management path, now are they saying, well, they've got it wrong too?
Well, clearly the path that JD was on, whether we like to say it or not, was the wrong path because of the results.
Yeah.
No matter what you say about off-field issues, dramas, innuendo, backstabbing, it comes down to results, doesn't it? That's the bottom line in a rugby league club.
No,
it's a results-driven
I'd like to just know what he meant by management of players, that's all. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Is it they need to be stronger with their players? Is it need to be, no, well, we need to go back to what Wayne did with our players?
Well, that's That's exactly right, Loz, because they say Wayne Bennett's the best man manager in the game. He's not the hardest. I mentioned before, I don't think they do wrestling and stuff under Wayne. Sam Burgess is a hard-nailed guy and will be like that as a coach. So maybe he's saying for that team, they need someone like Wayne. And it might not be pushing him to the absolute limits at training or doing this, but that's what he feels will be get the best out of this squad because they've played under him before.
Horses for courses, isn't it, Grub? Mm. Some coaches might take a certain approach based on the personality of that roster.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, well, I just don't think JD could get him out of it, Loz.
No.
I think he was in a hole that was just too deep. And no matter how long they kept him on this year, I don't think he was going to get out of it.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you at all, mate. What I'm saying, me personally, I'd just like to know. I'd like to know what they're looking for and what the reason was that how he couldn't get them out of how they were performing. You know, is it because he was a bit soft on them, or was it because he was too hard on them? I just want to know what management of players means. That's all.
I think JD's got an edge to him, Loz, which is a bit brutal. I don't think people should be lulled into the an infactual element where they think JD was a soft touch. I don't think he was. Whether he gave the senior players too much say and too much influence is still open for debate, but I don't think he was a soft touch.
Dean Ritchie joining us. Bulldogs Bite, his column in the Daily Telegraph today. You've written about the Cronulla Sharks. I wouldn't be going to Shark Park in the next maybe month, Bulldog.
Yeah, I wrote a story, Middo, about the
what
Sharks.
What have you got against
today.
The Sharks?
I've got nothing against the Sharks. I've got nothing against the Sharks. I just wanted to write a column, though, and you go, hey, idiots. They're doing the finger thing they do at Shark Park. I just said they are competition leaders, but I still think there's a soft underbelly there. Am I right or am I wrong?
Jeez,
you blokes
tough.
Have played first.
No, I think their draw's been soft.
Has been soft.
Except for round one. They're winning against the Warriors over there.
I never had the Sharks winning the comp this year, and I don't think they can. But I'll get a better read on them in the next 6 weeks because someone pointed out their draw is.
Yep. Yep.
So if they can come out of that period and win the majority of their games and not get blown away, I'll possibly change my mind.
They got the Dragons this weekend.
Yeah, that's a win.
And then they've got, what about this? Melbourne away,
yep.
Roosters home, Panthers home, Parramatta away, Brisbane away.
Roosters is magic round.
Five weeks of hell for the Sharks.
Can I reserve my decision until then?
Of course you can. You can do whatever you like.
That's beautiful.
But there has been a fragility, though, about the Sharks in recent years. They've lost six straight finals, and they've lost. They've won one rather of their last nine finals.
And
why is that?
That'll be playing in the back of their heads.
As much as you say it, Josh, you don't read into it. We don't worry about that. That's in the past. As a player, though, it's got to be in the back of your head.
100% you do.
Yeah,
like you get to that, it's different. Semi-finals is a different ballpark.
Yeah.
No one cares what you've done in the season. No one cares. And this is what this is the Sharks' problem. I'm looking at their team list now. Unreal roster. They got guys like Tommy Hazleton stepping up, like playing amazing footy.
Wilton is playing well.
Their back rows are unbelievable. Yeah. I love him. Yeah. Their back rows run probably the best lines in the game. Yeah. And there's like you got Cameron McInnes, who's just an absolute warrior week in, week out.
He'll be playing Origin.
But it doesn't matter. When it comes to that fight, I don't know what it is. They don't have the belief. I think it's in the group. There's something in that group that they don't have the belief.
Genuine belief.
There isn't it, Loz? They'll probably be listening, whether they listen to this or not, these blokes are crazy.
Yeah.
But there's something there. When it comes to that end of the season, you've got to have the belief to beat anyone, anywhere.
It's funny, you know, I look back on the time that I played. I don't know it's going back a long time. But if I'm in a group and I hear Mal Meninga, or I hear Ricky Stewart, or I hear a Bradley Clyde, or a Steve Walters, or a Glenn Lazarus say, boys, we can do this and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Like, there's no, I'm unsure. There's total belief. You go, yeah, you're right. We can do this. With the Sharks, who's that guy or two guys or three guys that they're looking to and go, you know, when he says something, we're going to do it.
You know,
and we get it done.
It was Dale Finucane, and he's finished. That's a blow.
Cam McInnes is probably one of them.
Mm. Yeah, I agree, Mido.
Yeah, but the issue is when they haven't done it and they've been there for a while.
Do you think
it's different if you're starting and you won when you haven't won, trying to get that like there's difference between that strong belief and disbelief and we're on board. It's that when some of that massive stature in the game says something, you're right on board and you believe it. And I was lucky that I had so many in the team. But I'm just wondering who they are at the Sharks. And you mentioned Dale, and you're probably right.
Well, sometimes it's unsaid, Loz. Those guys don't have to say anything.
Nah.
In that Penrith team...
Well, Mal used to always say, we're doing this.
And you'd follow him.
Right, there wasn't... Yeah. I want you to do this. We're doing this.
Okay, so last year, anyone but Penrith in that grand final probably lose by 40 if the Broncos kick on. But Penrith have that belief. They know, as a team, what they can do. In big games, on the biggest stage, Nathan Cleary, look what he done. Okay, so let's just say the Sharks finish on top of the table. They get home semis. That doesn't matter for the Sharks. It's still in the back of their head. They lost to the Cowboys at home in that prelim when they should have won. So that's in the back of their mind. That's another thing, because the home ground advantage, I feel, Loz, in the back end is a big thing, especially for someone like Shark. No one wants to play at Shark Park. Terrible oval, windy, wet conditions. But the Sharks seem to play their best there. But then when it comes to those games, what is it?
I assume this is the case, Josh. Do players among themselves talk about rival clubs who might have a soft underbelly, where you might say, look, this team I've got no rap on? I mean, you must talk among yourselves about the fragilities or strengths of other sides. And I wonder what players these days say about Cronulla.
Absolutely you do. And you see, during video sessions, you single them out. You will say, this guy, okay, he might be the best attacking player in the game. But I'll tell you what, coaches will be like, look at his defensive, look at his movements. Look at his tie-in. Look at his second efforts. A lot of fans don't see that type of stuff, but they're the guys that you pick out, and they'll get found out in big games. They're the ones that you go after.
60 seconds, Bulldog. The Roosters have a gazillion dollars to spend coming up in their salary cap. Who could end up there?
Yeah, they've got about $4 million, Mido, after this year with the exodus of a number of key players. I'm told that there is interest in Katoni Staggs and Selwyn Cobbo. No offer's been made. No decision has been finalised just yet. But the mail out of good sources in and around the camp is that Staggs does desperately want to stay in Brisbane, but they think Selwyn could be lured out. So I think if the Roosters do go after one of those two, it's now firming that it will be Selwyn Cobbo. But let me stress, no deal's been done, no talks have opened, but it's a watch this space.
Potentially he and Billy Smith in the centres.
Yeah.
If
just doesn't strike me as a Sydney boy, Selwyn.
Possibly not. I would have gone the other way, thinking Staggs is more of a Sydney boy.
Yeah, I would have thought so too.
Who knows?
Thank you, Dean.
Thanks for having me.
2-2 in the Champions League. First leg semi-final this morning between Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. Borussia Dortmund and PSG go at it tomorrow. In the English Championship this morning, Ipswich beat Coventry 2-1. And just about in the Premier League, I'm sure it finished 2-1 there this morning. Let me just check that one. But 2-1 in the end. Yes, it was. So the table now has Ipswich on 93 points, Leeds on 90 for the second automatic promotion spot with one game remaining. And Ipswich are against lowly Huddersfield, who are virtually relegated. Leeds are at home, but have a tough match against Southampton, who are in the playoff spots in the last day of the season. Also tonight, the Premier's plate to be decided in the A-League men's. And the Central Coast Mariners in Gosford are up against Adelaide United. And the market with Tab has the Mariners $1.62, Adelaide $4.50, the draws $4.50. And they just need a point. Do the Mariners a win or a draw to seal the Premier's plate there tonight? Just some more A-League news. We'll have Mossy on tomorrow, of course. The competition's record goal scorer, Jamie McLaren, has confirmed that he'll leave Melbourne City at the end of the season. 154 A-League goals the 30-year-old has. It's not known where he's headed yet next season. and Melbourne City have an elimination final. Well, they've got a Melbourne derby against the Victory this week. And also, fans will be able to hear referees explain VAR decisions during the A-League finals as well. So we'll speak to Mossy all about that tomorrow. I mean, it looks like, honestly, seriously, working in this studio with these two, like, they're scribbling like pictures on paper. Like, what is going on? They've done a photo shoot. I'm like, just like, honestly, what am I doing?
It's schoolboy behavior.
It's immature. He just come at me about something ridiculous.
Like, I was just showing out the people out there a photo shoot that Josh and I did yesterday. That was all.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Your face.
And we're wearing jeans, that's all.
Mm. Okay.
And we're just comparing the colour of the jeans.
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting.
Funny, though.
Where do I go from here?
Mm. Mm.
Penrith and South. So in the wake of Demetrio's sacking last night, I mean, of all games to play tomorrow night, to play against the Premiers.
What's the line?
Just looking that up, Loss. They'll be as rank outsiders as it gets. They're
20?
15 and a half point outsiders. So they're $5.80 head-to-head. Penrith are $1.14. The match is at a core stadium.
Oh, it's a lot of rain around too, isn't there?
There is. So it's a big line considering it'll be a wet game.
Yeah.
You know what? South will cover the line. There you go. Tomorrow night.
Yeah, possibly. I thought they could beat Melbourne. How wrong was I? I thought coming off the bye, everything to play for, and they gave us donuts. Taking on Penrith, another step up, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm taking that back, what I just said. Taruva's back, Moses Leota's back.
Yeah.
Look at the Penrith team.
What happened
seriously
last week with Taruva?
No, Ivan Cleary was pretty candid about it. He said in the aftermath that, you know, in the wake of him, it was because he was going through his contract decision and pointed to how much that can take out of a young player. But he did say he'll be back next week.
Okay.
So with the stresses of going through that decision, and he signed with the Tigers now. So Ivan Cleary, you know, they headed to Townsville, big trip. So he gave him the weekend off.
Great coaching. Look, how good's
that? I agree.
That's smart.
I suppose it's easy to make that decision when you triple back-to-back premiers.
Yeah, but
you're going, well, but it is good coaching.
And he would actually mean that. Like, he would honestly mean that he would want the player welfare. Mm. So, good on Ivan.
Do you reckon Penrith's bench is as strong as what it was over the last couple of years, Grubby? I mean, you look at their starting lineup and you go, wow, there's no weaknesses. And I'm not saying that, you know, their weaknesses on the bench. What I am saying is quality, like Spencer Lenu and guys like that coming off the bench last year, that they were so influential with this Penrith team staying on that role that was created by a Leota or a Fisher Harris. I don't see that intimidation there with their bench this year as much as what it's been in the past.
They definitely haven't got the same punch, Lods, do they? Like, you've got Laurie. Lindsay Smith is doing a great job, but he does a lot of clean-up work and he's that type of player.
Eisenhuth does the same.
Eisenhuth does the same. And Maverick Guy is still finding his feet in first grade, but I couldn't agree more. What would happen is Leota and Fisher-Harris would set the tone, and then Spencer would come on and even nearly outdo them sometimes or keep that same intensity. And that's huge. And that's big. That's one thing I feel the Broncos have on them. The Broncos bench is a lot more punchy than Penrith's bench, but at the same time, Loz, they just find a way, don't they?
No, they fit into that system so well, isn't it? You know, you talk about system-based football, and that's Penrith to a T.
You spoke about Mitchie Moses earlier today, Grubby, and the Eels have a bye this week, but is it set to have further X-rays on his broken foot today? And the optimistic view is he could be back for Magic Round. They hope at best in just over 2 weeks. They've got the Storm Paradou in Magic Round, or more likely is the week after against Souths. That is just before the New South Wales team is picked. They're out to $67 with Tab to win the Premiership. They're $6.50 to make the eight. But also, yesterday at a statement, they've said that Clint Gutherson's had minor knee surgery, an arthroscopy, I think it was. And he's unavailable for 4 to 5 weeks. And losing Gutho on top of...
He's their most consistent player.
Oh.
Week in, week out. Every single week. He has, I think his name is the captain's knock. Every single week he turns up. And it's not necessarily he doesn't, you know, always set up tries or always do the spectacular things. He's there. His effort. He's pushing. He's barking orders. He sprays his team. And I love to see it. You know, we speak about how you speak to people and stuff. Gutho doesn't care. If you're not putting your body on the line or having a crack for Parramatta, he'll tell you. And you can sort of see that on the field. They'll get Mitch back, which will be good for their attack. It'll release Dylan Brown. I think he's struggling a bit being the main man with his kicking. It just doesn't suit him, and that's totally fine. He's one of the best. We've seen on the weekend, he actually had his best running game against Manly, where he just thought run first. Mido, to answer your question about the origin, I don't think it'll be enough. I don't think you can pick Mitch after one, as you say, one game leading in.
And the thing is, with a broken foot as well, it's not like he'll be... It's not like he's running now. Like, he'll come back in very cold.
I think he's pretty fit, though, isn't he, Mitch Moses? You'd know him better than me. But
he's very fit.
Yeah. But again, going into an origin game with only one game under your belt when you've had 8 weeks off, no, you wouldn't be running the risk.
Who's your origin six?
Oh, good question, Grubby. Jack Whiten.
Jack Whiten?
Well, as it stands at the moment, he's unavailable, Lots. He retired from rep footy.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
You're not so confident now,
I'll tell you, you can come back to us tomorrow. I want you to think about this.
Well, the options are what? Cody, Nico, Jerome, Lua.
What are your three?
What about LB?
LB.
Luke Brooks. No. You know who mine is?
What do you mean, no?
Matthew Burton.
Well, yeah, I like that one too.
But his last 3-4 weeks, he's turned a bit of a page. Wouldn't you know better than anyone.
Absolutely.
I'd love him in Origin. Next to Cleary in the halves. The yin and yang you talk about, Lots.
I think it will be decided over the next 3 or 4 weeks. And don't be surprised if Jack makes himself available.
Okay.
Why are you so fast to shut down Lukey?
Because I think just other players are in front of him. I think Brooks is playing well, mate.
And you still think players are in front of him now?
I do. I think they'll go with other people.
Yeah, okay.
And I think Luke is a really good player. I've always had a rap on him, even when he was at the Tigers, and I think he was unfairly targeted there by a lot of people. I think he's found his home with Manly, and he just suits them to a T.
He must be so happy, is he?
Oh, he just looks it, doesn't he? Like, how good is it when you know, instead of coming into a game having to do everything, you've got Turbo, Jerry Evans, all those blokes around you telling you, you know, where you need to be. He looks happy, and I'm so happy for him, as you said, Loz. Copped it for a long time.
Joining us now, Sky Racing caller Mitch Matters. Mitch, morning. How are you, mate?
Yeah, well, thanks. I think just on the back of that conversation, it feels like New South Wales really don't know who to pick. Queensland's got their 17 almost all sorted, and we'll win another series.
I'll take your bet.
Just a sickening comment. You're not the only Queensland listener who's been chuckling, listening to us, you know, talk about various players throughout the last week or so.
Even more confident that Loz is going to front up in the betting stakes because he can stop one. So
I can. I grant you that, Mitch. I grant you that. But no, it's exciting that Origin's just around the corner. And
I agree.
The way I like to look at it is we've got options and plenty of good options.
I agree with Meadow. Birdo's probably playing his best football the last month. Well, the whole doggy side is, but he's certainly in the mix for a number six for New South Wales. The way that the form that he's in over the last few weeks.
All right, we need some form as far as the Brisbane Carnival is concerned because it all starts with the Victory Stakes this weekend and there's an all-in market there with Tab. Uncommon James is the $3 favourite. Bring it on. The Carnival starts Saturday, Mitch.
Yeah. At this stage, it's looking like a small field for Saturday's Victory Stakes. Last look at the acceptance is a field of 9. Uncommon James. James McDonald booked to ride. He's here, there and everywhere, J-Mac, but he's taken the opportunity to ride the horse for Steve O'Day and Matt Hoisted. Look, off what the final field is probably likely to look like this morning, I think $3 is probably a good price off his run in the Galaxy. Wait for Age, 1200, back to Eagle Farm. and some of these are sort of only just getting warmed up for their campaigns. A horse like Antino needs 7 furlongs or a mile to do his best. Golden Mile sharply back in trip if they opt to accept this morning. So I think $3 is probably a very good price, providing he gets a good draw. So that's the Victory Stakes. The Queensland Guineas is also on Saturday. It is looking like a capacity field where Ducasse and Port Lockroy are equal favourites at $6. Very wide open market, very even sort of a three-year-old race, that Queensland Guineas. So it all kicks off the group racing this weekend.
I see the Hollandale's been moved to the Sunshine Coast, has it?
Yeah, Loz put some horses over the course proper here last week. It was a tough call for the club. Obviously, we would have liked to have run it here at the Gold Coast, but for the best interest of the participants and the industry, and how good that meeting is and how much it creates a pathway for all the horses through the Oaks, for the bracelets, for the three-year-old filly series, the two-year-olds and the Ken Russell, the Hollandale towards the Doomben Cup. We thought it was best to make that call to move at the Sunshine Coast like it was run last year while the track was getting renovated. And Cascadian, who was meant to trial yesterday at Randwick, and just hopefully he's still heading this way. He was scratched at the trials, but he's a dominant favourite for both the Hollandale and Doomben Cup, and he would certainly add plenty of interest in the race if he's to head north. We believe it's his sort of farewell preparation, a Hollandale and a Doomben Cup, and that would be his swan song. And what a good horse he's been, and what a good horse he would be for those two races. So Cascadian, the current favourite for both the Hollandale and the Doomben Cup.
Any tips for us today in Ipswich, Mitch?
Yeah, Josh, race 1, number 5, Exceller. It's going to beat the favourite, who's around even money, but this filly's got good ability. She should have won on debut at Eagle Farm in a Saturday 2-year-old race. She's very quick. Saw her at the recent trials here at the Gold Coast. A half mile on first up is certainly right in her wheelhouse. She then ran 5th in a stakes race before going for a break. Her recent trial here at the Coast was very sharp. And I think she can beat the favourite at the $3.30 quote, and there's been good support for her earlier today. So race 1, number 5, Exceller.
$3.30 currently with Tab. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, boys.
And just reading, interestingly, Michael Chemis in the Sydney Morning Herald has just done a full analysis on the Herald website. And it is interesting, well, according to Chemis here, that Russell Crowe, as you know, the board was sort of deciding what was going to happen with Jason Demetrio. Apparently, Russell Crowe's told Demetrio, "I've got your back." Even that wasn't enough to save him. So that says a bit about.
So it says where the power is going now.
Not necessarily
it's not with
Crowe.
Russell. Mm. Yeah. So wow. So Russell had the power, and it seems like that power is diluting. But he also talks about how he, this is Jason Demetrio, presented to the board about how he was going to get the best out of this team in the next part of the season, and what his plan was for the future, and how he's been hampered by the likes of Jai Arrow and Campbell Graham and Munro being out injured, and Whiten and Mitchell being suspended, and how pre-season hampered by injuries to key players in Cody and Cookie affected them over the opening 2 weeks of the competition. But yeah, the thing that I took out of this was Russell had the power, but it seems like Russell hasn't got the power anymore.
How does he lose that power?
Well, he sold, you know, part of his. He diluted his own share in the club.
Got you.
As owner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you reckon that's why, mate? Possibly.
Well,
has to
yes.
Be. Yeah.
Yeah. When, and like I said earlier, what do you got? Cannon Brooks, Packer, Crow, and then the members all sharing the power. There you go. Well done to Bill DeNoro, who's won the tickets for the Miracle Mile Restaurant at Menengle this weekend for the pacing for Pink Night. And the text was Bathurst Harness. Had to give us a tip for Bathurst Harness today. Said race 1, number 2, hooked on winning, knocking on the door for a win. It's due, has a Turnbull on board. All signs point to hooked on winning. Good on you, Bill DeNoro, for winning a couple of tickets for a good night there at Clubman Angle this weekend. Steve Hewlett from Radio Tab, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
I'm really well, Jerry. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Look, we're going to talk to Jamie Walter. We're very excited in Queensland that Think About It's coming back again for another tilt, possibly at the Stradbroke. Obviously, he'll carry a lot more weight, but he's going to land in the Kingsford Smith, a race he won last year. Mm-hmm. Private Eye's about to turn up in the Doomben 10,000 en route to a possible Stradbroke start. And Blake Shin, of course, riding these horses. So we'll get the latest with Jamie Walter. Also, a preview Warrnambool. Mitch Friedman produced Skybird, who's now in the Goodwood. He's got runners today at Warrnambool, Mitch Friedman, and Lindsay Smith, the Tuvalu, and also Yellow Sam. Both look genuine chances of featuring somewhere in the Wongoon today. So Lindsay Smith will join us. David Fowler will speak to Kelly Sweeter, Toby Edmonds and David Murphy as well. And also an update on Larry Cassidy. I'm not sure if you saw his Facebook page, but oh boy, he put some of the footage from his recent operation on his finger on there, and it's if you're eating, don't have a look at it. or look at it before you eat, is what I'm saying.
No interest in looking at people's wounds and stuff like that. Nah.
I understand. So Larry will hopefully join us this morning as well. So big show.
Brilliant, Steve. Thank you. Coming up on Radio Tab, Dave Stanley. I don't know what's happened, mate. It's been a busy morning. Sorry, Dave. How are you, mate?
Your boys are pumped because you're about to get on the Steel Bird tomorrow and head down to the Riverina. That's what I'm doing, the Savo. I'm getting prepared as we speak, boys. Wagga, look out there tomorrow morning. Town Plate Day. We've got the Cup on Friday, and then I'll be back up at Hawkesbury on Saturday. So looking forward to the next couple of days unfolding. I know that the weather report, when you look at the Hawkesbury meeting, you're thinking, oh, geez, what's happening with the weather in Sydney? But we're going to try and chat with the Bureau tomorrow because the forecast keeps changing. At one stage, it was a lot of rain, up 100 mil at one point. Now it's stepped back down to that sort of 10 mil mark around the Hawkesbury region. And we spoke with James Heddo yesterday. They're ready to go. They've sold out pretty much all their corporate hospitality. There are some GA tickets available, which you can get involved with, which you might be able to get some to give away to our listeners on Friday. But I hope that they get a massive crowd there because it is really good racing. Right, all week, actually, if you look at the Thursday noms or the acceptances for Wagga, the Friday at Wagga is a beauty. Even Canterbury tomorrow, there's some really nice horses going around. And, of course, Saturday there at Hawkesbury. I'm going to chat with Adrian Bott. He's going to be my first guest, boys, after scratchings. So we'll try and find a winner because they have horses, the Waterhouse Bott team at Hawkesbury, Canterbury, Wyong, and they're even taking two down to Wagga on Friday.
You done, Lots?
Done. It's 9:00.
Great. Okay. Good contribution for those two. You boys going to go down to Souths after that contribution? Grub and Loz? Fair dinkum.
Absolutely.
Went missing. Went missing like the Dragons' defence on Anzac Day, two.
They put the queue in the rack.
Have a good day, boys.
Good on you, Dave. And thank you, Grubby.
Thanks, boys.
For your impact this morning. We won't leak any information.
Good energy,
about it,
mate.
I'm going to thank Craig from yesterday for my efforts today, Loz.
It was very good yesterday, very good. Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
Good on you, boys.